Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience.
Okay, I think that's my cue, isn't it?
That's your cue.
Okay. Everybody, thanks for joining us on our Blog Talk Radio show. My co-host will be here shortly, Jap App. We have guests, we have a panel, and we have a co-host that are phoning in on Skype. Just want to let everybody know, happy Independence Day for everybody that celebrates. And thank you for joining us. We might go into a little bit on why we are doing the show on the 4th of July, other than the fact that we had quite a show last week with a few technical difficulties. But right now with me so far, we have part of the panel. We have Jaron Brown, and we have Rachel with us. Guys, thanks for being here.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be here.
As last week we did chemtrails and we tried to work in FEMA, but we had problems with that. So the first hour we're going to be going over FEMA, and we have a special guest that we will call Charlie that's going to be joining us here in just a second as well. And then we're going to take our calls at 15 minutes till the end of the hour. Then we will come back and we will discuss the NOAAites.
Okay, we do have somebody on Skype. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
So we've lost them.
Well, it's still showing up here that he's on.
I wonder if it is Jack. That his Skype wasn't working yet. And for everybody listening, we're still working out these kinks with Skype, and it's always a problem. So thank you to all the guests that are using Skype today. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it dropped, but we'll see. So just go on. I'm sure we'll
Jeff's come back. Calling in. He's going to call in.
Oh, okay, here we go. Let's try this again. Hello? Hello? Dropped again.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start then. I'm going to go ahead and start. We're talking about FEMA. You know, mostly, I'm sure most everybody that listens to the show or is friends with Jap or I or anybody on this panel has heard of the so-called FEMA concentration camps. And things like that, and you know, FEMA being militarized, and that's basically what we're going to go over. So, is Jap in with us?
Yeah, I'm in.
He's
Jap. What's up, buddy?
Hey. How's everybody doing?
Welcome.
Thank
Glad
you.
Glad you're here. Glad
oh, yeah.
you're here.
Glad you are.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
No disconnections yet.
Yeah,
so we're
going to
go over FEMA.
That.
Is Charlie going to be here in just a second, or should we just keep going?
I think Charlie's trying to call in at this moment with Skype.
Okay.
So
well,
yeah,
basically, what I said was is we're going to talk about the FEMA concentration camps, the ones that allegedly are popping up, and we're going to talk about FEMA being militarized, and we're going to get the whole panel in on that, and.
Yeah.
Everybody
weigh
in. Yeah, everybody
does. Is this Charlie? Let us see here.
Yep.
Oh, is this Charlie?
Hey, Charlie. Charlie, you here?
Hello.
He's having trouble.
I can hear something barely.
Mr. Anonymous, Charlie, is that you?
Wait, I'm asking him on Facebook.
Okay.
I don't think so, not yet.
Let me go to the panel real quick since we got two people on the panel in here. I want to know what you guys have heard just briefly until, because people are going to start coming in. Hopefully the Anonymous Fox and Charlie will get in. But, Rachel, we'll go to you real quick first. You've heard about the FEMA concentration camps. Can you just tell me just a little bit of what you know or what you think?
Well, what I know is whatever I've seen on the Internet, you know, and it's there and it's out there. I think there's too much evidence, you know, pointing to it, the fusion centers, the monitoring, you know, preparing for something.
Right. Brother, Jaron, what do you think? What's going on with FEMA in your opinion?
I think if Jeff's moving to Kentucky, I'm going to the Netherlands. And have this place. I think, you know, we all know there's way too much evidence stacked against what the FEMA camps are meant for. There's been, we all know, it was just this year in February where Obama was trying to explain the FEMA camps and how their purpose was for prolonged detention, things like that, like a homeland Gitmo sort of thing. But we all know better, and we've seen things, and some of it's kind of like what Rachel said, just kind of what you've seen on the Internet, but there's a lot of things you got to take in, like, was it Jesse Ventura?
Yeah, he did a great show.
He did a great show about FEMA camps and documentaries of people exposing these abandoned railroads used, boxcars being bought that are that have shackles, feats of shackles, so they can, and all these lead to institutions to where people can be held. And, you know, brother, you and I were talking last night that any major prison can be used as a FEMA holding facility.
Right.
It so not only are they
spare rooms for everybody.
Right. So not only are they building these new detention centers or camps, however, you know, whichever floats your boat you want to call it, they can always use these federal penitentiaries as FEMA camps as well. Move a couple people around. And so, yeah, it's, and the great big Tupperware containers they plan on putting bodies in. Gotta love that.
Right.
I mean, mass graves have never been so, you know, airtight and easy to take the gravesite, you know. I mean, scares the hell out of me.
Seven by three buckets.
Yeah,
right.
7x3 buckets for us, black coffins.
And those are only for cremation. Those are not even to hold the dead bodies. They got the big stone ones for that, you know, the white ones. You can see them from space. And the black ones we see on the back of the trailer trucks and in Georgia stacked up. Those are only for cremation. They got millions of them. Fucking millions. It's fucking crazy.
Right.
They got the FEMA camp set up.
Are you talking about like a mass grave when you say big white ones you can see from space? Like, bro, oh, wow.
Yeah, they build it in the ground. It's crazy. They build it on, you know, you can walk over it. They shoveled like, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 feet of dirt out of the earth. And, there's millions of them. It's fucking crazy. It's fucking crazy, and I can't understand why people on why would you believe that FEMA is for federal emergencies? You know, this one guy, he told me, you know, if there's going to be, I don't know, big nuclear fallout or something like that, then, yeah, you don't want the bodies to flow down the river. So, yeah, of course they're prepared for that shit. But this is not normal. This is not normal. You don't do this. You know, I think it's the same, like, if you would say back in the 1930s that Hitler was building concentration camps, people will call you a conspiracy theorist. And I think that's the same situation as that we're in right now.
Yeah, because he hadn't done anything at that point yet. I mean, there was nothing done at that point. I think he was even nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize in 1938 or something like that for cessation of arms in Germany, around Germany for something. So he was nominated for a Peace Prize, guys, in the only year that it was not given out. So if had anybody said that he was planning on exterminating an entire race of people then?
No, of course not.
They would have been tinfoil hats and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, of course. And
what about your country, Jeff? Do you guys have anything like this?
Well, I heard like 6 months ago that, you know, in Amsterdam, you know, in the red light district, they got a sort of FEMA camp type of thing. And this was just shocking for me, you know. It was fucking shocking. I was like, what? They got this over here. It's like an hour drive for me. And, you know, we got this one politician. His name is Geert Wilders. I don't know. I saw an article like a month ago. It was an interview with the LA Times. And he said what Europe needs right now is Zionism for the state of Europe. And I was like, oh, shit. This guy is... We got a lot of immigrants over here, a lot of Turkish people and Moroccan people. And, you know, this is the one politician that is like all the Dutch people. He's saying, we don't need them. We need to get them the fuck out of the country, this and that. Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. He's a fucking Zionist. He is schooled in Israel. He has been there for 7 years. He has blonded his hair. You know, and people are following him like he's the fucking master, you know. It's crazy. People are so blind. People are so blind and deluded.
Right.
You know, but you can't blame them. It's the same like when Obama run for president. You know, people
right.
are like, yeah, finally, we got some change. You know, this is not the change that they wanted. You know, over 50% of the people who voted for Obama are like, get this guy the fuck out of here. But most don't realize that, you know, it's just another puppet. It doesn't matter if it's Obama or is it another dude.
So we have another member of the panel. Sarah, what's up? Are you in?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. You're late. Fashionably late, though.
Always.
What do you think about FEMA? Talk to us.
I'm sorry?
What do you think about FEMA? Are they beneficial? Are they a good
absolutely
thing?
Not.
Or
no.
Absolutely not.
No.
Under any circumstances, they're not good. Do we have any camps in Missouri? Do you think?
Am I hearing a honk?
I'm hearing a honk too.
Who is honking? Is Clownsec in the area?
Clownsec should be in the area.
Somebody
it's
is
not
honking.
Me, but I'll second that honk.
What the fuck?
This is beautiful.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Think it's my chat box going off. Sorry.
Oh, that's your chat box? Oh,
yeah,
great.
You guys are chatting me up here.
Yeah. We're going to call your fax machine clown sack from now.
Are we being trolled by a member of the panel?
Yeah.
So we need to drop
this.
The hammer.
Drop the hammer on the fax machine. Come
drop
on.
The, yeah. Okay. I mean, we don't. Ruthann says we have a 962 in Skype. Is anybody new joining us?
I think that's Charlie. If it's Skype, I don't
Charlie.
Know. Let's put him
Charlie,
on.
Are you with?
Charlie, are you in?
No, Charlie yet.
I'm hearing something in the background. Hello, can you hear us? Charlie, if you can't hear us, try to press 1 on Skype. You can pop up a keypad. All right. In the meantime, we've got to keep it going.
Yeah. Let's talk about H.R. 645 real quick, guys. That's the United States bill that established these FEMA centers. Does anybody have any additional information on that, or should I keep going?
I'm not known. Very known of are those the executive orders for FEMA?
No, these aren't the execution orders. This is the establishment of the emergency centers. What we believe are the FEMA camps, and it calls for the establishment of six camps on military installations, on different military installations. But, Jaron, like you said, we talked about it last night. Sarah, you know this too, because, I mean, you took me back to one. That there are residential facilities and there are prisons all over the country by radio stations, by railroads and by airports that can be converted into holding centers. And I mean, a prison, of course, is going to naturally be a holding center. That's a given. We know that a prison is, but a residential facility. On that documentary that Ben Shira did, he went to one in Texas. And it had the barbed wire pointing. It had the barbed wire pointing towards the outside. It was closed up. It said visitors, can't help anybody escape. Things like that. That was a residential facility. That was something that I, similar to where I was at. I mean, for those of you who don't know, I was incarcerated for a brief amount of time in the state of Missouri, and if you don't have a home plan, you lose, the place you were renting or whatever, and you don't have anywhere to go, the state of Missouri will send you somewhere. They will send you to a residential facility. Now, you are technically paroled out. You should have the same freedoms as any other parolee. You should have the same freedoms as any other
parolee.
Is that Charlie?
No, that is your echo.
Oh, it's my echo. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Nice. So you have the same rights as any other parolee. However, when you go to a residential facility, you are on lockdown. It is considered a level one holding facility, like a work camp, something like that. So they can be converted. And I was right. There was a railroad literally right behind the place, and they had floodlights, barbed wire pointing out. I mean, you name it.
No. It's crazy over here that they just kick your ass on the streets. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Which
would
have been fine with me, really. Don't parole me out and then send me to another prison, because that's what it was. But we had two large dormitories that were completely empty.
Evan, we got Charlie in.
Yeah.
Oh, we got Charlie.
Yeah. He's on queue, I heard. Wu-Tang, can you connect Charlie? Let's see. He is on queue. No. Nope.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Charlie.
What's going on?
Hey, Charlie. How you doing, man?
I am great. Sorry about the technical difficulties, yeah.
No problem, man. We understand. It's good you're in.
Right, yeah, it took me a minute.
Charlie,
so what
Charlie
did I
good
miss?
To have you, man.
Yeah, good. Great to be here.
Yeah, man.
Well, Charlie, okay. We're going to keep your name as Charlie. Why don't you give us some background on you real quick?
All right. Wow, where do I even begin? let's see. I spent a little bit of time in the military doing everything from, ground pounding to intelligence, et cetera. I've been researching and constantly staying up on world events and or, if you want to consider it, tinfoil plots, plans, what have you. Staying away from, what the media bias is always trying to push upon the populace, and formulating my own hypotheses, what you have. When it comes to, I guess, my specialty or my main interest would be more along the lines of ancient civilizations, the whole upbringing of how we came to be where we're at, anything having to do with military spec ops or psyops, if you will, psychological operations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, it's great to have you on, man. We appreciate it.
Right.
So how long were you in the military, and can you tell us what branch and what your rank was? Without giving too much away.
Yeah. I was for the beginning infantry, U.S. Army. I don't want to give away, units, et cetera. But I did everything, like I said, from intelligence, satellite, et cetera.
No, okay, that's good. That's good, man. Charlie, what is your take on the FEMA camps and more like the militarization of, you know, the entire you know, the police state? What do you think? When did this became the kick in? You know, it was a longer plan. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off, Jeff.
Yeah. What do you see happening now? What is going to happen? What do you think?
My you know, theory would be that everything is gradually been being set into place for the larger picture. I mean, you can see the civil unrest that's been taking place pretty much since shortly after Obama had taken office. The cultural divide that not only has been constantly ensuing since he took office, because, you know, a black man in office of pretty much a majority white country, what have you. And now everything taking place with this whole Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin case, it's doing nothing other than causing a further cultural divide amongst the Americans as a whole, which is, you know, making tempers flare, blood boil. It's going to spill over into...
It's exactly what they want.
Yeah, it is. It's been a process in the making for quite some time now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I didn't follow the Zimmerman case that much.
Well, it's been kept out of the media for the most part. I mean, as far as, you know, what really is going on. But I mean, what they want to see, what they want to show the people is, you know, it's a black versus white thing, you know, and that's what they're trying to turn it into.
Create more hate. Yeah, that's what they're best at.
Well, let me ask the panel this real quick, and this is a matter of whether you think Zimmerman is guilty or not. It's a matter of whether you think he's going to be found guilty or not. We'll start with everybody. We'll start with Sarah, and then we'll go around to Rachel, then to my brother. Sarah, what do you think? Is he going to be found guilty or not?
I don't think so.
You don't think so either.
I've kind of been following the case from the beginning, and I'm really I'm shocked it even went to trial, because at first they were talking about not even bringing up charges against him. But I guess there is a reason for the hype of media to get people going. I was wondering what their next case would be after the Jody Arias trial had flopped a bit. But I don't think he's going to be found guilty. I don't think so.
It's amazing Zimmerman picked up right after she was found guilty. Rachel, what do you think? Is he going to be found guilty or not?
You know, I'm not really sure on that. I think that he might be. Not that it'd be right, but I don't really have too much of a knowledge on it. But I just think that it's one of those things that is trying to capture our attention to keep us away from the real issues that are going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Darren, a white guy guns down a black kid. Black kid doesn't have anything. He has nothing but some Skittles and some stuff on him. Yeah. And there's the Stand Your Ground law in Florida. Zimmerman originally wasn't brought up on charges. Now he's going to trial. It has inflamed the races. What do you think? Is he going to be found guilty or not? What do you think, brother? Yes.
Trayvon?
This is Trayvon. Yeah, this is Trayvon.
Oh, okay. No, I think that's a load of crap. I think this is I think this man should have been brought up from the get-go. But yeah, this is spawning a lot of racial division and hate. But at the same time, I think we should have nipped this crazy cracker in the bud. And I mean, come on, the kid's got a pack of Skittles. He's gonna hold them in his hoodie. Just because he's got his hands in his hoodie doesn't mean he's packing heat. And
right.
If you're part of like a neighborhood watch program, or you're just some crazy jerk off with a gun, I mean, it doesn't give you the right to get all uber paranoid because you've been smoking speed or whatever this guy's doing. You know, hunting down a black kid because he looks suspicious. There was no purpose.
Well, that's
for
definitely the story that we're getting. That's the story we're getting, is that he gunned down this kid. The media has definitely found him guilty. Forrest, Charlie, is a nationwide race riot enough to get FEMA to enact H.R. 645 and open up these centers, do you think?
Well, personally, I don't see that being enough. But in all honesty, I mean, you take into consideration the riots that took place right after the Rodney King ordeal. I mean, that was centralized. It only stayed in, you know, one neighborhood area. Now, if we put that on a mass scale, and we're talking every major city in America has, you know, tens of thousands. I mean, even if we go 5,000 per city, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's going to be enough for the military to, you know what I mean, throw in the flag and say, hey, we're going to come in and we're going to lock shit down. It's not that it's going to seriously be that much of a threat, but it's going to be the catalyst that gives them the reason to say, hey, this is what we're going to do and y'all are going to deal with it because we feel as if shit's out of control.
So Charlie, Charlie, I got a question. Do you think that the U.S. military, you know, I heard a lot of people say, you know, the U.S. military isn't going to do that shit to their own citizens, you know? If they don't, then, yeah, exactly.
No,
what do you
yeah.
think? The common soldier, does he know what is going on? Or,
I still keep in contact with a lot of my people from, you know what I'm saying, my platoon, my company, and they're scattered all across the country and or globe. But no, I mean, it's not going to happen. You got individuals that join the military are stand-up patriots, and they know, I mean, there was actually something, I don't know if y'all stay up with the Military Times, it's actually a military newspaper. It was probably about a month or so ago. They caught a lot of heat because they published a story on Obama giving unlawful orders to soldiers, etc. And I think it was the Navy that had caught the
Is
most...
Is that the Navy SEAL team?
No, Team 6. No,
oh.
no, not talking just about the SEALs. It was a publication, a newspaper that the Army puts out, and it stated, you know, it pretty much talked negatively about, you know, the president being their commander-in-chief, which you take all orders from him. You don't ask questions or anything. Like, that is your superior officer.
Yeah,
so
commander
in chief. Yeah, when it came out that this newspaper was pretty much criticizing his
Obama.
Orders, his unlawful orders, and, you know what I'm saying, going against the Constitution, they pretty much stated that, you know, their oath to serve the country is to, you know, protect this country from all threats, foreign and domestic.
Exactly.
And I mean, you give an unlawful order, you know, it's supposed to be on your superior officers whether or not you get the go ahead on it. But I mean, it falls down to a moral standard. And if you have, you know, your commander-in-chief telling you to go over here and murder 15, 20 children, I mean, you're going to have a moral stance that tells you, you know, this isn't legitimate, it's not logical. So, no, I don't feel as if the U.S. soldiers or the American soldiers would do it. And, I mean, I've actually ran across a couple of reports that there's something signed in. I can't find it right now. I got the actual bill and whatnot. Stating that Obama has signed something with Russia for...
I was just going to interject that, yes.
Yeah, it's on my Facebook page, actually.
Maybe
I'm
going to
look for it.
Yeah,
posted it yesterday, I think. It talks about how he sat down, and they're going to bring in Russian troops if there's any type of natural disaster or national emergency, because, you know, I mean, and what other reason would they bring in foreign troops, in my opinion, is because the American soldiers aren't going to do what is asked of them when it comes to fighting their own people, so they have to bring in foreign troops that don't care because this isn't their backyard.
Yeah. Right, who don't speak the language or anything. Exactly.
Perfect answer. That was exactly
everybody,
what I
was our producer, Ruth Ann, by the way. Everybody,
yeah, sorry.
Ruth Ann. Thank you, Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann lets us talk our smack every single Thursday. We really appreciate it, too.
Exactly.
Thank you, Ruth Ann.
Thank you, Ruth Ann.
I'm just glad that
apparently,
you
go ahead, Ruth Ann. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm really grateful that you all decided to come in today when so many people in the U.S. are supposedly celebrating what they call independence. this is much more into all of us to be on the radio spreading the truth than to be getting drunk at somebody's barbecue. So thank you all.
Yeah, no problem. I'm not from the U.S., so I don't give a fuck.
I just celebrate by blowing stuff up.
No,
I'm
no
from
disrespect.
The U.S., and I don't give a fuck.
You know, everybody can
there
wave their flag.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Okay,
Charlie,
apparently
there was...
too on and this goes to Obama. There was a Nobel Peace Prize nominee, Jim Garrow. I think he was the guy that broke the story that Obama asked top military brass if they would fire on Americans. And he only wanted top brass that would. They would be obedient enough to fire on Americans. And I know that there was a survey given to Marines in 1994. I don't know what the results were, but the Navy Lieutenant Commander was the one that gave the survey out, and he asked if they would fire on Americans in the event of a gun confiscation. That was the specifics of the survey. I want to say I've heard somewhere that it was a third of them said yes, so I don't know.
I'm just getting messages from a buddy of mine, from Kevin John Brady. He's saying the same will happen in the UK. It would be the French and the Germans, etc., the forces. The UN, they want to take control of the masses, and he spoke to his mates in the armed forces, and they say, we're not going to follow, those orders, you know. The same like Charlie said, we got moral standards. They're not going to blindly follow orders, you know. Most know better than that. Not everybody, but most do. And when one or two are going to reject their orders, the other ones are going to think like, you know, there's something fishy about this. So I think, you know, even for the troops and the military, I think we got a good chance for that. I think they, you know, you saw what happened in Egypt. You know, it's getting a bit hectic right now there. Everybody was all excited at first, you know. There was over 33 million people confirmed in the streets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking crazy. That's more than twice my entire fucking country. You know, that's a bizarre amount of number of people. And eventually the military choppers, they flew over. And I was looking at it. And, you know, they said, the news over here said that they were holding Egyptian flags, you know, on the bottom of the choppers. But I saw the David Star on it. You know, it looked like the white and blue, the fucking Zionist flag. It looked like that for me. You know, now that this Morsi is gone, now the U.S. is wanting to get their claws in that mess. And I don't know what's going to happen. They deployed troops to Egypt.
Hey, Jack. I don't mean to cut you off, Jack, but what you're saying about that right there, one thing I did notice that kind of boggled my mind about it was that, I don't know if anybody listened or paid attention, but they're actually pulling out any form of American contractors, consulate, embassy, anything like that. In my opinion, you know, with the tempers and everybody already being on charge, it's almost as if they're going to utilize that portion of unrest now that you got this mass mob, if you will, against everything. You know, they're going to go in there and tilt the scales to just cause complete catastrophe.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And let everything pour over. Because, I mean, you have not only the protesters that were for Morsi to get ousted, but you have, you know, the protesters that were for him to stay in. And then you got the military coming in. It's going to get to the point where you got three different factions warring against each other over there. And I believe that the U.S. government is going to be the one that antagonize or coerce this to take place.
All right, well, I got a question for the panel real quick, because I know we've all seen on social media, everybody celebrating, says America needs to walk like an Egyptian, things like that.
Fuck.
On
I don't think that's a good idea.
Like that. Yeah, how, panel, what do you guys think? Rachel, we'll start with you. Is this a good thing, or is this no different? Army usurps a democratically elected leader that's actually a puppet of the United States and Israel. Are we just going to get another puppet, yes or no? What do you think?
You know, I've always kind of felt like, you know, Democratic or Republic, they're both the same, you know, same side of the same coin. You know, and it's the lesser of two evils. And I just, you know,
okay.
I don't know.
But in Egypt, though, who's the guy that's taken over as interim president? He's somebody ahead of the Egyptian courts or something like that. He's taken over as interim president. You know, NATO is going to have their fingers involved. Sarah, are we going to get the same as before, just with a different face in Egypt?
I think so.
Yeah. It's generally how it goes. Brother, what do you think? What are they going to do?
Well, as far as their quote is, America needs to walk like an Egyptian. If it turns out like they got it, I'm all for it. You know, I mean, I'm down. Let's overthrow this junk. If we can get our military and our police for us instead of against us, like they always have been. Well, I would say the military's always been against us. Most of them are just following orders. But, you know, we have our own police. You and I have talked about the New York police in themselves like a small military.
Yeah, standing army.
If we could have our, you know, if we could have all our own people to help us overthrow our own corrupt government, yeah, that would be awesome. But if it just if this is just some ruse to put another puppet,
exactly,
you know, that if put another puppet in the same seat, it's just going to do a better job of running a country into the ground, or to put a firmer grip around their throats. Then screw it.
Right.
You know,
we're going to take calls in 10 minutes, by the way, everybody. Calls in 10 minutes. So.
Okay.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, but if it's not, screw it. I mean, you got to have to take it for what it is. We have to wait and see what's next for Egypt, you know?
Yeah, this looks good to me for a reason, not completely. I think a leader is going to get manipulated in there. I don't think it's going to be any different in the end, but, I mean, credit has to go to the Egyptians for coming out in that, like you said, in that kind of number, with police officers and military backing them. So
that is yes, that is true. But you know, the situation is it's very complicated right now over there. You know, when the military, you know, kind of took control, you know, they suspended the constitution. And if you're gonna say walk like the Egyptians, you can kiss your constitution goodbye for, you know, a small amount of time. You know, it's just a piece of paper, and I think, you know, I would love to see, you know, things to turn around. But I think they, you know, how do I say this? They tried to put their hand in this shit in Egypt. You know, it's all great and shit, but I don't know. That amount of people on the streets, you know, visualize that in America. I don't know what they're going to do.
I feel as if it would be 10 times more violent if there were that many people in the streets of America.
Exactly. It's not going to go good. I think they're going to pull out some big guns and some big weird weapons to fight that shit, you know?
Yeah. What worries you guys the most? I'd say suspension of the Constitution in Egypt. I mean, if we're going to walk like an Egyptian, and we're going to talk about this in the second hour, we run a real risk of the government doing some really, really terrible things, or military, doesn't matter, if we suspend our Constitution.
I got a comment about that, actually. Has anybody been familiarized with what they consider frozen zones in New York City?
No. What's that?
Okay, you can do a simple Google search. They've tried their hardest to keep it, you know, completely devoid of the internet or from anybody's prying eyes or what have you. But it's actually where the Constitution is suspended. It actually started years ago, but one of the largest occurrences of it taking place recently was there was a 15 or 16-year-old kid that was gunned down, shot in the back by Brooklyn police.
Yeah.
And these frozen zones were actually places where your constitutional rights did not exist. The media was not allowed in there, which, you know, that's the First Amendment right there, freedom of press, freedom of speech. They were not allowed to record, report anything having to deal with this or what was going on in, I want to say it was Flatbush. I want to say it was the Flatbush neighborhood in Brooklyn, New York. But, yeah, they suspended everything. I mean, they could detain you for, you know, looking at them wrong, hold you for as long as they wanted to without due process, you know, and I mean, that right there, that's a prime example, or a test run, if you will. I mean, even the Boston bombings, the Boston Marathon, they did the exact same thing. That's a suspension of your constitution and civil liberties if they're running through your house talking about open the door because we're coming in and want to search for such and such. I mean, you don't have to, but you didn't have a choice when that shit went down. Once again, just another test run to see how the American populace will handle and deal with having their rights stripped from them in a time of, you know what I'm saying, fear or
They do it in times of the natural disasters too. Hurricanes, Hurricane Sandy, and Hurricane Katrina. New Orleans was under martial law for a period of time after Katrina.
Anybody hear about the problems at the FEMA camps, the tent camps that they set up after Hurricane Sandy in New York? There were some major problems there.
The same problems they had in New Orleans.
Yeah, major problems. FEMA wasn't letting, I mean, the employees were regulating bathroom breaks and people walking around, and there were people that were, of course, you know, naturally they were completely stranded, had no help, but they were saying that it was more like a prison than a refuge. So
it almost sounds like they're desensitizing us to it. So, you know, the old frog in the pot syndrome. You know, you turn up the heat and, you know, pretty soon, you know, stay there and not realize that it's being cooked alive.
Right.
You know, they're not going to do this stuff all at once. They're going to introduce it just a little bit at a time.
Yep. Totalitarian tiptoe. Pretty
like,
much.
Same with these frozen zones, too. I mean, like, I remember seeing, what was Kamani Gray was his name. He was like a 15-year-old black boy. Died at the hands of a couple of cops.
Yeah.
And
I
after,
say that's
you know, all this stuff in Brooklyn. And
yeah,
he did
that's
the same thing at the end of Occupy, the original Occupy Wall Street movement at the end of it. They shut down everything. They shut down power. They shut down any kind of internet, everything. And the right, there were no rights. People had no rights.
Yeah, that is fairly dangerous shit. That is fairly dangerous shit.
The year beforehand, they had this stuff going on. You know, the New York City police mafia.
Yeah.
Got all this stuff, you know, got the ball rolling. And all they needed was a reason. So they get started with Occupy Wall Street. And then it goes on again, and it goes on again, Boston, and then it goes on again, you know?
Right, it's just conditioning. That's all it is. We call it conditioning.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. The people, it's just like, you know, the whole frog in the pot thing. You start getting used to getting having your rights taken away. The random stops, the roadblocks where there's just people get searched walking down the street, you know?
The Nazi checkpoints.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I mean. They just get used to it. Next thing you know, we're in Orwell's 1984. You know.
I don't know how the rest of you all feel about it, but personally, I mean, I almost feel as if it rights in anything that, you know, we as Americans are supposed to have is merely an illusion. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You can almost look at it from a certain perspective and come to terms with, you know what I'm saying? Everybody is pushed to do a certain thing, to accept a certain thing, to, you know what I'm saying? It's almost as if nobody wants to or take a stand to take that freedom back that what our forefathers did to take this country, you know. I don't feel like this country has the balls to do so. You know what I'm saying? I don't think this country has the balls to, because of the conditioning and the submissiveness that has been pushed on, you know, generation after generation, and to get where we are at right now, ready for the takeover and what have you.
That's perfect.
Okay, guys, we have 2 minutes till phone calls, but we have somebody really wanting to talk from a 931 number. Should we let him in? I think we should.
Oh, whatever. Bring him in.
I mean, when we come back, we're going to take calls. We're going to take calls, but when we come back, we're going to talk about Zionism. Jeff, I know you've been wanting to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Noahide laws. So we're going to take calls until the end of the hour.
931, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, Jeff. This is Michael Anthony from Facebook. I just want to say thank you for doing what you do. Keep us informed.
Hell yes.
Keep
us
free,
man.
Brother.
I will certainly do that, man. How are you doing?
And I will not tie up your line anymore. I know you got a lot of other things to do, but just thank you for what you do.
No problem, man. Do you got a question you'd like to ask or answer, whatever?
Or a comment?
Anything. What sparks your mind? I think he's already out.
Good luck. Well, that sucks. I mean, Michael, if you're listening, you can call back in. Definitely call back in. Do we have anybody else right now?
Hey, I'm still here.
Oh, he's
Michael,
still
you're still here. All right. All right, good. Jeff, like Jeff said, do you want to comment? Do you want to say anything or ask anything? This is your time, man. You're uncensored.
I just wanted to say that, you know, us as Americans, we need to wake the fuck up.
Exactly.
Look at what's going on, and look at what all is happening to us. We did not fight the revolution for this shit to happen. And thank you for all of you people who try to wake up America. I know a lot of them are asleep, obviously, because of the last elections.
I just want to say real quick, it's not only America, you know, this is it's fucking worldwide. It's, you know, everybody is focusing on America, and I think that's because I think it's got to start over there. I think it's got to start over there, and it will spread like the plague all over the world. But it's not only America. I talk to more people in America who are awake than I do in my own country. You know, we got, it's a small country where I live, but still, everywhere in the world there are people, and they are knowing what's going on. And the numbers,
right.
They're growing every day. I always say, you know, 2 years ago I would never dare to dream that so many people already, you know, would see what's going on right in front of their noses and above their heads, you know. So
right.
the shit is growing, the movement is growing, and, you know, we're not going to let us push around, you know. People got to say, you know, fuck it, it's enough, we're not going to take this shit anymore. Because
right.
if you look,
exactly,
if you
know, wake up and see what Egypt did yesterday, and it can be done here.
Hey,
yeah.
But I got something to say, Michael. Apparently, you're very patriotic and stand by your country. What I have to say towards you is, you know, get out there and touch base with people. You know what I'm saying? As many people as you can physically. We can only do so much through the internet or over this right here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The best bet is to get out there and just, you know what I'm saying, make it known. Family members, community, say something that touches a key point with them and makes them question why. You know, that's the key point right there. As long as
exactly.
you keep people asking why, as opposed to just, you know, okay, whatever, I'm gonna deal with it because that's what I've been conditioned to do. That's not the way we need America to be thinking right now. We need we need globally. We need everybody to be asking why.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Right.
Yeah. That's very true.
It all
gotta
ends
start.
At the UN eventually. It ends at, I mean, it's, these are cosmopolitan people
yeah.
who run this. They don't have countries.
Yeah.
Okay, they don't. These people
they
own everything. It. They don't have countries. They don't care about nationality. That's not something they care about. So
no.
We need a global protest. We need a global revolution.
Exactly.
Because if anything happens here, what's NATO gonna do?
Yeah, exactly.
Jump in on behalf of the United States government. If anything happens in the UK or happens in Israel or Palestine gets lucky, if they get a lucky shot off, NATO's going to jump in immediately and trounce whatever the opposition is. Look what France did to Gaddafi. Sarah, I know you're a big fan of his, and I was too.
Me too.
They dropped
yeah.
the bomb
yeah.
on his motorcade. Dropped the bomb on his motorcade, and who gave them the right to do that? Who said that they could do that? Nobody.
What a fuckers.
Yeah.
And when you get right down to it, we're all humans, and that's where we should be. We all have a basic human right. I mean, I am an American, and I'm proud to be an American. We have, we have the Constitution. I mean, look what they're fucking trying to do to it, but. We need to stand up to it. You know, we the people is not the government, it's us.
Exactly.
We elect the goddamn government to represent us. And when they don't, it's time to take them back out.
Yeah,
exactly.
People forget that. They work for the taxpayers, they work for the people.
Right.
And people seem to forget that.
You know, I mean, I have to agree with Charlie here, too, about there's only so much that you can do. You can tell your friends on Facebook or any other social media site, but it's the hands-on, even if it's just putting flyers out somewhere to try to awaken people's minds, you know.
That shit works very good.
And,
I got a stack of anonymous stickers.
You don't have to be a member of Anonymous to have your own op.
No,
you have your own operation, you know. You can
very
go out. I've done it in my own community where I've made my own flyers, I've stapled them, in laundromats and on telephone poles, just to try to wake people up and let them know
what's
going on.
It really works.
Everybody's too scared of their own local authorities to try to get a march or any kind of protest or anything like that. Everybody wants to be complacent. I'm not going to use the S word because we know a moontard that likes to talk about our furry friends. And
there we go.
Nothing wrong with sheep.
We are
indeed.
They make very fine sweaters.
Yeah, exactly.
CFU. But it's very important to be as active as possible. I mean, it's got to be more than what we can do right here on the radio, what we can do on the internet. You know, get yourself a staple gun and a stack of flyers. Make them out. I mean, draw them with a crayon. It doesn't matter as long as somebody reads that junk and maybe opens their mind a little bit to what's going on around them. Instead of just liberal media or what's going on the TV, you know, think outside the four walls of their house and what they've been told to believe.
Guys, think about this. We have an entire generation now. Really, really, we're working on two generations now that only believe what they hear comes out of the television.
Yeah,
they have literally
problem.
Been informed straight from the TV. We have an entire generation in power in the workforce right now that has been raised from television.
And they don't believe it unless they see it on the television.
Unless they see it on TV. So their argument to us is, you know, you get on the internet, do you believe everything that's on the internet?
Yeah.
We say to them, do you believe everything that's on TV?
Here's the thing, the TV is owned by, it's owned by four or five companies, and the internet is fucking free for everybody.
You don't believe everything that you see or read anyway. You pretty much just have to take it all in and just listen to what makes sense to you, because there's going to be disinformation in everything that you read and watch on the internet and the news everywhere.
And see, that's another thing that I think these last generations have failed to do is actually follow up and research on their own. They just take it for face value as opposed to digging deeper than what they see on the surface. Like, it's so bothersome to, you know what I mean? Like, if I hear something, I'm not just going to be like, oh, okay, that's how it is, Roger. Nah,
Roger,
I'm going to, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to dig deeper. I'm going to, and then in that process, not only am I going to discover more about what I had initially set out to figure out, but I'm going to find out five or six different things that either have entailed with this or correlate, you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
It's not only one
so
thing
connected.
That gets, it just grows and grows, and not only do you develop information and knowledge, but, I mean, you actually learn it as opposed to just being told or shown it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one thing. It's one thing to repeat what you said, Jeff. Now you have you mentioned that the news and media, they're owned by four or five different people.
Yeah.
We could go even further and say that these four or five people have something in common.
Yeah, they're all fucking Zionists.
They're all fucking Zionists. And you had mentioned the Star of David, on the bottom, possibly on the bottom of Egyptian helicopters.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna let you get into that real quick. Though I want to give people a history lesson on the flag of Israel. A lot of people call that the Star of David. They call that the Seal of Solomon. Blah blah blah. But that symbol was actually it started off as a red symbol outside the door of Mayor Amschel Bauer, who later changed his name to Rothschild. And the Rothschild's names basically mean red shields in German, R-O-T, red, and then they added the T and H, but there's a variation on the spelling, but it's basically pronounced Rothschild, Rothschild, whatever.
That's
German,
new info for me,
together.
Man.
So, the red star is basically a red shield, and that's why they changed their name to Rothschild. The Israeli flag was bought in the country of Israel was bought and paid for by this family over the Balfour Declaration. But for everybody that's listening that doesn't know what a Zionist is, Jeff, you go ahead and take that.
A Zionist, okay. Strap in. A Zionist, yeah.
Don't hold back.
I won't. I promise. Zionist. It's not to be confused, with the Jewish population. Most Zionists are Jewish, but not all Zionists are Jewish. It's crazy. you got the official, the Judaism, I don't know how we pronounce that, they reject the state of Israel. You know, Israel is the biggest fucking terror state that there is on this planet, if you ask me. They got their paws in everything. They control everything. They, you know, over 50% of the U.S. Officials and politicians, they all got double passports. They can all, they go back to Israel in the law of return. I don't know if you know more about that, even, but we're going to get in that later. You know,
yeah.
And the same is talking about Zionists, you know. We got Alex Jones, that motherfucker. We got him. himself, he is not Jewish that I know of. You know, his wife is Jewish. I got nothing against Jews. Let that be very fucking clear. But, you know, you got to ask yourself, Mr. Jones, where the fuck do you get all your fancy equipment, all your recording equipment? How do you get on the mainstream media? How do you get on fucking CNN? Is it because you are the king of conspiracy theorists, you know, like people call them? Alex Jones is nothing but a fucking piece of shit, and he's
and nobody's tried to put a cap in his ass yet. So
yeah, exactly.
You know?
He's still alive. That's for sure.
How is that dude still walking if he's exposing the mighty globalists, you know?
Exactly.
I want to call in his fucking radio show one time and ask him about, you know, why don't you never talk about, you know, the Zionists, the hand of the Zionists that controls the entire fucking world. No, he's not going to talk about it. All he's going to say, you know, we got the big New World Order and the globalists and the police state and the bankers, you know. They're not just bankers. They're foreign bankers. They're Israeli banksters. They're all Zionists. They control the media. They control the radio. They control what you listen to. They control the vaccination programs. They got their hands in the gun laws, you know. Zionists, in a few words, they're just a piece of shit, people. They need to fucking extinguish him. You know, I don't care. I'm not for violence, but you can burn me a Zionist every day. I don't give a shit. You know, and look what the fuck they are doing to the original people of Palestine.
Even is having a laugh. That's right.
Having a
laugh. Oh, man.
Okay, I'm getting more excited. We got a caller here. We got 813. I don't know, Rutan, can you connect him?
Yes, 813 is on the air.
813, you're
Hello?
On the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're
How
on the
are
air.
You? Hey, it's Nathan.
Nathan?
Ethan.
Yeah.
Nathan, how are you doing, brother?
Good. I didn't really get to listen to the show because there's no Wi-Fi here. I'm going to listen later, but I wanted to thank you and Evan for everything you all do.
Oh, man, no problem,
thank
man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, man. We appreciate that. Do you got any questions or comments about, you know, we were just talking about the filthiest piece of scum on the earth, you know, the Zionist or the Israelis.
Yeah. No questions, because I don't know as much as you guys yet.
Okay, well, I can tell you they're a fucking piece of shit, so.
Well, Nathan.
If you trust us, you'll believe that. If you trust us, you'll believe that. We'll explain why in good time.
Fucking scumbag.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, I appreciate it, brother.
So you guys are definitely changing lives, and I wanted to let y'all know.
Yeah.
We appreciate it, man. Call in anytime. Call in anytime and message anytime and whatever you need. I mean, Jeff and I, we're always online, so.
Yeah.
I got something to say. Nathan, what you just stated about you don't know as much as that Jap or Evan, what you need to do is make yourself aware. You know what I'm saying? You are in control of all of that. All you need to do, man, is read. You know what I'm saying? Anything that you would like to know about, you know what I mean? Just get with who you obviously have contact with the show and you listen to it. So taking into consideration everything that you hear and research it on your own and then get out there and put that word out. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need is people like you. If you don't know, you know what I'm saying? It's on you to figure it out. I mean, we can help you, you know, but we can't hold your hand and show you to the door, but we can't push you through it.
Yeah,
right.
Nathan knows what's up. He was doing, you know, back in the days, he was doing a lot of things. And he was good at it. I can remember that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, Nathan. You know what I'm saying? Keep it up.
Yeah, man. Keep it up. We'll be in touch, man.
All right.
Yes, thanks for calling. Thanks for calling, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, as far as Zionists go...
oh, shit.
It's, how
My
can
blood
I,
is
how can
pumping,
I put this... What's that? Yeah, blood is
no,
pumping.
Nothing.
Yeah, mine, You know, mine gets to pumping too whenever we talk about this. You know, I've written plenty of things when it comes to Zionism and especially the Rothschild family.
You write some weird shit, brother.
Yeah, it's good because it's only good because they piss me off so much.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
Really, that's the truth. They piss me off a lot. And Zionism is a commercial and militaristic and political movement. And what it is it's basically they're using a faith as an excuse to push forward their theocratic agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Israel is considered a theocracy. It is bullshit. It's a bullshit regime is what it is, because most people have most of them are converts. They use scripture and things like that to justify why they should have their own state. They use the Holocaust to justify why they should have their own state. And the bottom line is this: if I converted to Judaism right now,
yeah,
okay, does that make me one of God's chosen people?
No,
and should I? Should I be entitled to my own state?
Yeah.
No, you have to be a Jehovah's Witness.
It doesn't make me that. Yeah, it doesn't make me that. It doesn't make me anything special. It doesn't.
How can you become a Zionist?
Well, you become a Zionist basically when you support the political movement of Israel. That's, I mean, and you can look up Joe Biden's Zionism on YouTube. He is on film, he is on tape saying that he is a Zionist. He admits to being a Zionist. There is no impartiality on behalf of the United States government whatsoever. So okay, my blood got to pumping too. We have a caller, area code 277. So
yeah,
Ruth Ann, could you do the honors?
On the air, 277. Hello.
Yo,
hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Jet, this is Sam.
Hey Sam, how are you doing, brother?
Oh, our friend Sam from Jordan.
Exactly.
Hey, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, you just told me something very interesting on the chat about the opposition leader of the Egyptian revolution. Can you tell a little bit about that and who he is and what he supports?
Yeah, he is Mohammed Baradei, his name. He works against the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah.
This man, as I send you the message, he works with the Zionists too much. He works a lot.
He goes with Zionists, hands in hand.
Yeah. He is the leader of revolution. The problem of Arab words, of Arab revolution and Arab words, that they don't allow the young people to lead. They just let the old player keep playing, and the old player, they are just another Zionist.
What do you think that, you know, I'm looking at his picture right now, you know, the filter face. What do you think is, you know, the name is Mohammed Baradei or something like that? And he's shaking
Mohammed
hands.
Mohammed Baradei.
Yes, yeah, I can pronounce that, brother. And he's shaking hands with an Israeli leader. That's not good. Why is this? Does this explain the Zionist flag under the helicopters? What was going on here? Did they got a deal with the military or something like that? And why? Do you have any idea?
I think, as you know, Egypt, it was before 60 years ago the biggest Arab country.
Yes.
And the biggest country in the whole Egypt and Asia. If they, Egypt has a lot of power by its own people, and if you make some business and some economy, it could be a very strong. Country. As you can see, in the last 30 years, there was bad government. Bad governments make people fighting, make hungry people. A lot of people, not a good life, has a bad life because of their bad government. So 40 years when they have their revolution. The problem is Israel play it very well.
Yeah, they're dirty.
Play it very well in Egypt.
Yeah.
First of all, Muslim Brotherhood, they are not some of them, they are not a good people. The leaders. The leaders, I'm not saying Morsi is a good man. But the leaders of other leaders of Muslim Brotherhood, they are bad people. They want to make problems around Islam. They want to make Islam look like a bad religion. A bad religion. They want to use Islam like Vatican use Christian.
Exactly, brother.
For 600 years.
Exactly. They want to...
And this is... Muhammad Morsi, I think he is the one to lead Egypt right now. But the problem is with the Muslim Brotherhood, not with Muhammad Morsi. Muhammad Morsi, if you want to compare him, if you want to compare him with other Arab leaders, he is the best one. He's the best guy to lead Egypt. But the problem is, Egypt, they make Islam is the problem. There is another big problem. They go to small problems, and even it's not important to make a discuss about it and to make it a law in Islam. If you can see hijab when a woman cover her hair in Islam, they want to cover every woman, and it's not a big deal in Islam.
No, I know it's not a big deal over there, but if you look in the Western, you know, they look like it, like it's a big fucking deal. You know, I don't, you know, you gotta respect traditions, you know, but you got some point where you say, I don't think the U.S. can go in a country and say, you know, this is what you gotta do. You know, who the fuck are you? You know, I'm talking about, you know, not the people, but, you know, the big dogs in the military and that kind of shit. You know, it's crazy. They're trying to police the world. Who are they to police the world?
Yeah, and in Egypt they want to make it a law. In Egypt they want to make it a law, and it's not that a big deal. And this law, they know, the Muslim Brotherhood, they know that this law is going, as an example, that this law is going to make a lot of problems.
It's going to make a lot of problems.
Yeah, even with the Muslims.
Yeah, I know. You know, they were protesting it in mass. It's crazy.
The idea, the idea of Islam, of wearing in Islam, it's about the woman, about to cover her body. Not being sexy for as a hint. They want to make a problem about something that's not important.
Well, that's part of the protocols. I mean, as part of the protocols of the Elders of Zion is to make a big deal out of nothing and to make the public enraged and inflamed. I mean, that's one of the things that they're best at. Look at the United States and gay marriage. I mean, they're perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the system down.
They can wreck some shit up. They're very good at that.
Yeah.
The same things here. They want to make Islam looks in a bad view for Western people. They want to make, as an example, they say the rebels in Syria, they are Muslims, but they are not. Most of them, they are not. They are just bad people. They take the money, they go for fucking.
Yeah, I know. There's a big, it's not a culture difference. It's more like a media perspective that is clogging up all the people's minds. You know, they you can't really blame them, but on the other side you can, because they don't get correct information from television. But you know, maybe they gotta find their own information. Well, Sam, we gotta wrap it up, but we're gonna continue on this topic of Zionism and etc. But you know, I wanna thank you for calling in, and we'll be in touch, man.
Yeah.
Okay, brother.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you,
Sam. You're safe out there.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, why don't we roll in the topic? You know, we were just talking about Zionism and the revolutions. I want to talk about this, and I want to talk about this for a long time, and I'm very excited about this. Evan, you know, Noahide's Law. I don't know how the fuck I pronounce it.
Noahide's
Law. It infringes the state of America with a decapitation law. Now, this is some messed up shit. This is a law that is being written like a very long time ago. I think I think it's best how you can introduce this, Evan. This is more your topic.
Yeah, I wrote something about this a while ago, and I was, you know, I'd heard about guillotines and stuff like that at the FEMA camps, but and that's kind of what got me into it. But the Noahide laws were actually signed into federal public law back in 1991. I mean, of course, nobody should take my word for it, but I would Google public law 102-14 of the 102nd Congress of 1991. George Bush Sr. signed the Noahide laws into legislation. Now, these are Talmudic laws. These laws were found in the Talmud. Supposedly, they are the seven laws of God that were given to Noah. And
yeah,
they are too, because we are considered goyim to these Zionists, not necessarily to the Jewish people. They have 613 commandments that they say they have to follow, and they say that we only have seven.
Yeah.
They say that we only have seven. They don't even want to give the Ten Commandments to anybody anymore. The first law of Noah is the prohibition of idolatry. The second is prohibition of murder. The third, theft. The fourth, sexual promiscuity. The fifth, blasphemy. Number six is eating the flesh from an animal that is still alive.
Okay.
And the seventh was added and given to Noah, according to the Talmud, and it was to establish courts to evaluate and enforce the other laws. Now, the problem with these laws and the problem that the beef that I have that they're the reason why they're in United States legislation is because the minimum punishment, the mandatory punishment for breaking any one of these laws is you lose your head. You get decapitated. And that is actually in U.S. law. And we talked earlier about suspending the Constitution. The only thing that stops these things from being put into effect is our Bill of Rights.
No,
the only thing that stops it.
But this thing, this kicks in with martial law and the suspension of the Constitution, right?
Right. If there was a nationwide suspension of martial law, then theoretically the Noahides could be ushered in and we would have a problem. We would have a real problem. And I don't think, I mean, and a lot of people think that the separation of church and state is part of the Bill of Rights. They think it's part of the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. It's not what people think it is, and it's not in there, okay?
Mm.
So what the only thing that protects us is freedom of religion, really. That's the only thing that protects us, because technically if you were a Christian or you were a Buddhist or something like that, you could be executed for idolatry if the Noahide laws came into effect. We are not the only nation. America is not the only nation. It is a worldwide thing.
They are being pushed
into legislation in all countries all over the world.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I want to say back as late as the late 80s is what I've heard as far as the Noahide laws being put into place.
What was his name? It wasn't Bush Sr., it was Reagan. Reagan was the first to officially recognize this rabbi. There was a rabbi that introduced him. He was the first to officially recognize it and honor it. Bush signed it into law. He signed it into law. And an important thing to note, too, is the Talmud and the Zohar, they're very important books to Zionists. Okay, these are not like traditional Jews that go by the Torah and some of the other holy books. They go by the Talmud, they go by the Zohar. And that's a problem, because all you have to do is read these books and or look up even if you take stuff out of context, which is a problem, you know, when you have a discussion about religion, but there's some stuff that if you take it out of context it's still indefensible. They still can't defend it. Everything from turning goyim into slaves to giving instructions on how adults can have sex with children and when it's okay to do that. I mean, the Talmud's a dangerous book, and that's where we get the Noahide from too. So, I mean, there's definitely more to it. There's definitely more to it. But if our Constitution in the United States gets suspended, then, and I'm not saying that this is going to happen. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not making a prediction, but it can. It can happen, and that's the important thing to understand. That's why stuff like this, these laws, cannot be part of any statute in any country around the world, period. Period. It can't happen.
But they are. Those laws aren't just for fun.
Right. They're everywhere.
Well,
so that's what I mean. It's crazy.
Well, they're written in, it's almost as if it's a safety net, if you will. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if something does fall through, say executive orders have been established and into place or whatnot, this trumps pretty much everything. This is what the law is supposed to be when whatever law we know is, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, destroyed, disposed of, what law we know to be when all of that is gone and pushed aside, this is what we're supposed to abide by. I think, I don't know, is it Evan that was just talking? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They, didn't they say or state something along the lines with this, the law, the Noahide laws, that they say that this is the first written law that was ever established in humanity and or civilization, and that's what they're trying to base it all off of.
They were given to Adam, and then they later gave more laws to Noah. Something
after
like
the flood.
That.
That's what I'd read somewhere. Yeah,
that's crazy, and they're still using it and trying to get it in every laws in every country possible.
Well, see, it's because they utilize it as a source of faith, and I mean we all know how people blindly follow their faith, so it's almost as if they wouldn't question, I guess, it as much if they feel that it came from, you know, a higher power or a being, or it's been around since the beginning of civilization or society, what have you.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta jump in here real quick. We got a caller, number 502. Wu-Tang, can you put it through?
Right. 502, you're on the air.
I was just going to see what your all's opinion on Monsanto buying the company formerly known as Blackwater.
Oh yeah, that's some crazy
shit.
We talked
about that last week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Jap, why don't you jump in there? See what the panel thinks.
Okay. But I think whenever a seed company buys a military organization, you know, there's some crazy shit. and we have seen all these things that the crop fields are burning down and all the fertilizer plants are blowing up. You got to ask yourself, are these military ops, you know, somebody's doing this? It can be a coincidence that every week a fertilizer plant or a competitor with Monsanto is having a... Yeah,
really?
It's crazy. Sorry, what? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, we faded out.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, my friend just came in the room to say something to me.
No, that's okay. No, let's ask the panel. Anonymous, what do you think about it? Monsanto owning Blackwater, and they renamed it, but, you know, it's still a military organization. Anonymous?
Yep.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh.
Sorry.
What do you think about it?
I don't really have a whole lot to say about it.
Okay. You know, I'm gonna ask Charlie. I'm almost sure he knows more about this. What is your take on this?
Well, I mean, let's be serious. We know Blackwater or XE or whatever they're calling themselves this year.
Academy X.
Oh, is that what they're going by now?
Yeah, something like that. They renamed it to something.
Okay.
They renamed it Academy. It was XE Services.
Yeah, something like that. Exactly.
It's Academi now, actually. It was XE. It's been renamed again. It's called Academi now.
Okay, well, whenever anybody along the lines of Monsanto, I mean, let's be serious, Monsanto has their hand in everything from pesticide to seeds to trying to run the entire world's food supply. I did do some reading the other day that coincided with what is that echo coming from?
I don't know.
It's really bad. I'm having complaints in chat too. Okay.
We're good now? We're good?
It's gone now.
Okay.
Go on.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you have something along the lines of Blackwater, I did do some reading the other day that stated Monsanto is using them for some type of inside investigation to competitors.
Yes.
So I mean, these fertilizer plant explosions and whatnot could be possible competitors. I haven't done the legwork or the research to figure it out, but they could be possible competitors that are being, you know, taken out of the picture, if you will. I mean, Monsanto is trying to globalize their reach and, you know, not have a seed planted that isn't theirs. And who's to say, I mean, you know, once the Farmers Something Act was signed in with the Monsanto Protection Agency, slipped in under the radar, it gives them the opportunity to operate with complete immunity and no possible threat of having any form of court rulings or... They would receive no punishment for, you know, their genetically modified foods, you know, possibly producing any forms of cancer or ill side effects. I mean, any company in the United States or in the world, if you would, that could operate with that type of immunity when they purchase pretty much one of the most elite fighting forces that you have in the world, I mean... next to maybe the Foreign Legion, they're just crazy, though. But, I mean, you know, XE, Blackwater, Academia, whatnot, they're nothing but mercenaries. I mean, guns for hire. So you got to think, what is a company like Monsanto doing, purchasing, or even having a contract out with people like this? Because I don't see any foreign wars taking place that Monsanto needs to get their foot in or... you know, something that needs to be taken over. So it does, I guess, push my mind to believe that they're doing something ill-willed towards American companies that are their competitors so that they can monopolize on anything and everything having to do with crops, the fertilizers that, you know, help the farmers with the crops. And you know, it's bothersome to even, when I ran across that and read it the other day, it boggled my mind as to how things like this can take place and the mass populace doesn't, you know, question more or push for more answers as to why. I mean, you know, why would a military need to be backing a seed producer or an individual company that produces something that kills the weeds in my front yard, you know?
Right. Isn't that everything the military is doing? They're always protecting corporations.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's the oil business or the lithium business or, you know, Monsanto, like we have here. But, you know, I wanna skip the question to Rachel. Rachel, what do you think about this? You know, Monsanto and the whole thing, the genetic patents and Blackwater. What do you think about it? And after that, we go to Evan. Sorry.
Okay.
Definitely don't feel that, you know, Monsanto has any business in doing anything with the military operations. I mean, I think they've been operating under the guise of, you know, I don't think this is new for them because I think they've been doing it all along. Now they're just going to be more open about it. I watched an interesting video today on the explosion in, I believe it was Texas. Somebody caught that on tape, and I watched a slow motion frame by frame that video with the explosion, and you know, you have to wonder
what the hell
why.
What was that?
Well, no, I know what you're talking about, and I don't mean to cut in or cut anybody off, but I watched it too, and from my, you know, military experience and what have you, when you have a fire that is burning full blaze from, you know, if you're looking at the video, it's blowing from right to left, and then immediately when the explosion takes place, every bit of that fire, we're talking hundreds of yards, if not, you know, 1,000+ feet, shifting from the left to the right of the screen. And the only way that that could take place or happen is, I mean, I don't want to be the, you know, the one that says it or throws it out there to try to make it as reality, but a missile or a bomb of some sort, you know, that's the only way you can have the fire burning that, you know, at large. shift.
I agree with you. I'll tell you what, the one that I watched, she happened to look at some satellite images of what was going on over that part of the state, and there was a lot of very, like, cloud punching from the heart machine.
Really?
You know, I mean, it just shows a circle over that area, and then there's, like, a direct diagonal line right through that circle.
That's great. Evan, what is your take on this?
Well, I mean, I
you know
just
more
really
about
want
this.
To clarify just a few things. Yeah, we'll call it, like I said, they're known as Academi now. We'll call them Blackwater for familiarity purposes. They've had a client list that includes Monsanto, Chevron, Disney, and a whole lot of other companies.
Disney.
First
oh,
of all.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chevron. I mean, they've been in business. They've been in bed with a lot of people. As far as who bought Blackwater and renamed it and did all this, it's only assumed that Monsanto did. Who actually bought them were private investors, and those names were not released. The reason I think that everybody confused Monsanto as a 100% type thing is that they did in fact work with, I think, they admitted to working with Blackwater, and Monsanto and Blackwater admitted to this from 2008 to like 2010 or 11. And they did, what happened was is those, there were emails that got leaked, and Monsanto gave them, I think, $500,000 or something like that. They gave them $500,000 to infiltrate the activist groups. So this isn't, and mainly animal rights activists, too. I mean, they were definitely concerned about that. So they got paid off, and they definitely worked with them. They had no choice but to admit to that relationship. So, I mean, what we have here is not, I mean, they do espionage, too. Blackwater does.
Yeah, that's,
they
what
are
I've read,
who
actually.
Trains them. Yeah, who trains them, I don't know. You know, they just because they're ex-military doesn't mean that they haven't had additional training. I just like to blame Assad for everything.
I was just going to say that.
Where a lot of it comes from.
Yeah. Israel, Mossad, the Zionists.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take into consideration a lot of the military training in America, I mean, the basis of it, in my opinion, we've trained a lot with Israeli soldiers, and I mean, we're talking hand for hand. That's where every bit of our doctrine comes from. It's not as if we created it on our own. And the fact that you can find any, you know, U.S. Army military training manual on the internet ready for anybody to see. I mean, who would honestly put their own SOP, Standards of Operational Procedure, if you will, on blast for the entire world to see? That's only a certain amount of arrogance that I would see coming from a country as small as Israel, or what they would do on a wide scale level, you know, like, if that makes any sense. I know what I'm trying to get across here, but I don't think it's coming out as clear as it should be.
They're cocky, that's what you're getting across.
Yeah, exactly.
And they don't care. They're flaunting it more and more. Ruth Ann just informed us that there's even an NYPD station in Israel, in one of the cities. I'd venture to guess it's probably Tel Aviv, right, Ruth Ann?
I believe it is Tel Aviv. I actually read that in the New York Times, I want to say like a year or so ago.
What the fuck? Why the fuck is there an NYPD in Israel?
Because the NYPD is a stand. It's literally a standing army that's being commanded by a Zionist, Jeff. That's why Bloomberg is a Zionist. He's a piece of shit Zionist that wants cameras on every street corner. You can only give certain food to the homeless. You can't drink more than whatever.
That's some fucked up shit.
He's a Zionist, is going to
tell somebody you can't feed that person over there that is starving to death.
Right.
And that fucking Zionist is going to say that, you know. In the meantime, they're killing thousands and thousands, if not millions, of Palestinians. They're fucking sick. Fucking scum. That's all I got to say about it.
Speaking of which, has anybody, I mean, that's a little off topic, but the CEO of Nestle that's trying to privatize water and say that it should have a price tag on it, like oil?
Yeah, in a while,
yeah, Bloomberg
supports
that too.
Like, what the fuck is
that?
How are you gonna, you know, put a price tag on something that falls from the sky? Honestly,
how are you?
New war.
They're already doing that.
Why
do you gotta pay for electricity, right?
Yeah,
it comes out of the fucking sky. You gotta pay. You can't even collect fucking rainwater in some states.
That's right.
You can't grow your own food in your front lawn. You know, it's getting fucking ridiculous. They're going to say that you can't have a magazine round with 30 bullets in it, but in the meantime, the DHS...
That's because it's a threat to them. That's the only reason. They don't want it. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, and it's the same... Yeah, they're protecting their future investments, you know, the water, the rainwater, the food, Monsanto, the guns, you know. You can have 30 rounds in magazine, but the DHS is buying 1.6 billion rounds of hollow points. No, and if people don't say, if they're not going to ring a bell, you know,
you know that actually did take place. There was something put in the in the Congress and passed. I don't know the bill or whatnot right off the top of my head, but it actually did. Somebody had passed through in Congress that the DHS is not allowed to purchase any more ammo until they turn up all of the paperwork that states how much or how many rounds they have used for prior training exercises, because that's what they're trying to write all this off for, is exercises. And I don't know about anybody else, but if you go to the range to target practice, well, you don't use hollow tips, for one.
Yeah.
You know, it's pointless. You use full metal jackets. They're cheaper. They don't do what they're supposed to. A hollow tip is to cause and inflict the most damage possible. But the bill that was passed or whatnot states the DHS is no longer allowed to purchase large quantities of ammunition until they come up and show whatever congressional board or whatnot that this is why they purchased it, this is what it's being used for.
But they already got
$1.6 billion. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
you know?
Yeah, but does that apply to the IRS? Does that apply to Social Security? Does that,
even
I mean,
the IRS
does that apply to the FBI?
No, they are arming the IRS. Like, why would they arm the IRS? That's another thing that bothers me greatly. Why the fuck do paper pushers need bullets?
Yeah.
Well, that's because the paper pushers enforce the agenda of the International Monetary Fund, the Bank on Foreign Settlements, and the World Bank, along with the Global Environmental Facility. I mean, that's exactly why the IRS is doing that. The IRS is not, they're not an agency of the United States. They back
fucking
up the International Monetary Fund. And another thing is they're justifying their buying of hollow points by saying that it is not, because the Geneva Convention banned hollow points on the battlefield.
Yeah.
However, it goes under a different name in the Geneva Convention, and they're using, they're arguing spelling, and they're arguing terms when it's really called, hollow points are called dum-dum bullets in the Geneva Convention.
Are
so they're saying, we're not violating the Geneva Convention by buying hollow points because they're not dum-dums. Well, they are. Exactly what they are. That's exactly what they are. So they're just calling it a different name and buying it up. How they're doing it.
I know it's not
violating world law. That's how they're violating world law. So
I know it's not just the hollow points, because I buy ammunition for my weaponry, et cetera. And I know I have ran into problems everywhere I go with the availability of ammunition.
Ammunition is gone.
Yeah.
It's very low. Very
scarce.
Yeah. I've heard even that, I don't know what police department, but there was a police department, I think, somewhere down
in Montana. In Montana, that actually went to the citizens to buy ammunition from the citizens.
Exactly.
And then
because
they
were out of ammunition.
And they couldn't get any from the state or the government. Yeah, I read that too, Jeff. That's fucking crazy.
That's fucking crazy. I'm going to say it now. If you're listening and the police department is coming to ask you for fucking bullets, flip them off. So fuck you guys. Go ask the fucking federal government for your bullets.
Unless, Jeff, I will say this, unless that same police department is ready to stand side by side with you when the federal government comes to take your guns, they stand in there like, fuck
true.
You.
That is true. There are police departments and sheriffs who say, fuck you, we're going to keep the guns. You're not going to take the guns. In that case, side with the local police departments, you know, because you got to team up in these times. You know, you're not going to make it on your own. It's as simple as that. you can think.
I mean, as far as cops go, though, Jeff, I mean, for me, good cops and good police stations and things like that are like UFOs. I mean, I know a lot of people claim that they've seen them, but I've never seen one personally.
No, I haven't.
I've never met a good cop, to be honest.
I haven't.
Never.
I haven't either. Well, okay.
Panel, Rachel, Sarah, you guys ever met a good cop?
Anybody? Good cop? I don't know. I don't know if I've met a good cop. I've met a couple of nice cops. But
yeah, been on
the
outside,
part,
maybe.
Been pretty much douchebag, so.
Yeah.
Right. Rachel, you ever have an encounter where you can say, that cop is good?
Rachel, who have dropped, it looks like.
We lost Rachel?
Yeah.
Oh, we lost Rachel. I didn't hear any honk anymore.
That was Sarah that was honking.
That was Sarah honking.
Oh. I'm confused. I'm confused
Sarah
as fuck.
Sarah was honking. We had a message on
Heaven
our thread from one of your friends. That, what's that?
Heaven says there's some good cops in the UK.
Yeah, I believe that. let's see.
My standpoint on cops is that you can take it that when they first get out of the academy, they're so gung-ho and ready to do good and serve justice that, you know, they're going to cite you over, let's say, a joint. You could possibly look at jail time. But then after they've been in for a couple of years, they're going to be just as corrupt as everybody else. The same way with the politicians. They get in office, and they really do have the intentions of providing for their state, for their people. They would like to represent them the way that they, you know, feel as they've been put into office too. But after they've been in there for so long, you know what I'm saying? It's just, that's why I'm also like term limits. I know it's getting off topic again, but.
No. I understand. Yeah, it's crazy.
Term limits are on topic. I mean, term limits cut down on corruption.
Thank you. That right there, prime
example. They cut down on corruption. Yeah, they cut down on corruption. We got some breaking news. From one of Jap's friends. We have a volcanic eruption in Mexico. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And there are no flights over America. It is from Mexico, if I'm reading this right. I don't know exactly how to interpret this. This is, the volcano has just erupted in Mexico, and no flights over America with question marks behind it. So I'm going to look into that after we're done here.
I'm seeing at least 6 U.S. airlines have canceled more than 40 flights into and out of Mexico City.
Oh, shit.
After the volcano, I guess it threw up some ash and steam and some rocks. And so, I mean, I don't know if it's a full eruption yet, but it's cooking.
Yeah, it's a full eruption. I just see it. It's a fucking full... Wait, I'm going to... Holy
shit.
Where
exactly is it at?
4 U.S. airlines temporarily suspended flights to and from Mexico City on Thursday after a volcano 50 miles from the capital spewed ash. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. Rich James. Mexico City International Airport told Reuters. Oh, fuck. The decision not to fly from Mexico City has been made by these airliners. But, you know, this is mostly because of the huge cloud of dust in the air, but I'm looking at this picture and it's pretty big. This is not a small thing.
Are you on the Reuters article, Jeff?
Let me see. No, this is from NBC, so yeah, most likely.
Okay.
Yeah. No, the same dude that said this just sent me this. Yeah, the NBC. No. Well, okay.
So yeah, big. I mean, it's news. So.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's big news. I mean, let's keep bashing the government. That's what we're here. That's what we're on the show for today. If anything else happens on as far as Mexico goes, if there's any fatalities or anything, we'll let everybody know too. But it's definitely big.
Evan, I got a question for you.
It directly affects the entire continent. So,
go ahead, Charlie.
Is anybody? Everybody here is familiar with UNICEF, right?
Yeah. Oh, the fuck. Corrupt piece of scum.
There we go. Okay. Has anybody heard of the genocide treaty?
Holy shit, no. But
it's bad. It sounds bad, right? I just ran across this today as I was doing research prior to the show, just so I could, you know, have a little bit of readiness. But the UNICEF was founded on December 11th, 1946, the exact same time that well, a year later, actually, the same unanimously adopted whatever is known as the Genocide Treaty. It has something to do with the government being allowed to actually come in and wipe out entire, you know, civilization.
They're doing it. Yeah, they're doing it now.
And this was passed in 1946.
And at the same date, UNICEF came alive. That's some fucked up shit.
Here, I'm going to send you this link, Jab, on Facebook so you can take a look at it. But, yeah, I wasn't familiar with anybody. I just find it funny that the same date, year, everything, that this genocide treaty or whatnot that was adopted around a year after the UNICEF was put into place in, well, we all know what UNICEF's about, so.
Yeah, I fucking hate them. They just go, they go to Africa, and they take pictures of the poorest fucking kids that are out there with the biggest swollen bellies.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to live broadcast the fucking saddest images that you can imagine and say, and now we need your money.
Where does that money go? In their fucking pockets.
Exactly. To the fucking directors and the CEOs of the company. And why the fuck are you filming that and broadcasting it? Use that fucking money and feed the fucking children. And the same goes for Bill Gates, you know? This is a quote from Bill Gates. I'm not fucking kidding here. He said, starving African children they need vaccinations, not food. No, that's huge.
He said that.
That's an actual quote from that motherfucker. No, that, you know, what the fuck?
Bill Gates is an idiot, too.
Yeah, you need to cap him in a shotgun with the back of his head or something. What the fuck? He has stocks in Monsanto. That shit is not good. If he's a Zionist, that would make my fucking day. But I don't think so.
I'm sure he's up there with them. He's with them, I'm sure.
Oh, shit. Okay,
I'm sure he's up with that. He's got to be.
Most likely.
He's also a 500,000 sharehold owner with Monsanto, by the way, just so everybody knows.
Yeah.
Over 500,000 shares. Over 500,000.
Yeah, and then, you know, the vaccination program, it is Jewish, it's from Zionists. So it wouldn't surprise me. And he got a big hand, of course, with Microsoft. You know, Microsoft, he's leaving the back door open for everybody in the PC, actually. You know, what happened to Steve Jobs? What happened to Steve Jobs? I know this is very off topic, but...
Well, I mean, he died at a young age? I mean, I know there was talk that he was ill for a very long time and this and that, but I mean, to me, that just seemed too abrupt for everything that was going on.
Did he die from cancer?
That's what they're trying to say is that, was it cancer? I'm not even 100% sure.
No, I'm not sure, but you know, cancer is the most favorite tool of the elite. They use that, yeah.
You can give people cancer. It's possible to give people cancer. He could have been poisoned over time.
But
we're speculating.
Well, okay, but even now you can just give somebody cancer. I mean, we're not doctors here. We didn't do the autopsy. I mean, anything could be said, you know?
It could be poisoned.
All we know is what
we're
told. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, the guy who made the hydrogen. It's fucking crazy. You know, it's the same like the guy who made the hydrogen car. He was poisoned to death. And you know, the FBI came visit him and they took all the blueprints of him. Yeah. And where the fuck is the hydrogen car? Our fucking cars could be running on water right now. And those fucking wars that, you know, supposedly to give the people democracy, but sneaky stealing the fucking oil and the Popeye fields and all that kind of shit. You know, this was back in the, I think, 1980s or something. I'm not sure, but it's a fucking while back. And they could have been driving cars on fucking water. But, you know, they don't like that.
Yeah, but there wouldn't be no money for them.
Exactly.
So of course they got to sneak that. Yeah,
of course. Fucking crazy.
One thing our producer mentioned to us in chat is former President Hugo Chavez.
Yes.
He died from cancer also.
Yes,
he was a major opponent of the NWO.
That's a great point. I had almost forgotten about that. I hadn't thought about that in a while, but I thought that was very odd.
A major opponent of the NWO was cancer.
Hugo Chavez, I can remember the images of him with the weapons in the hand and the soldiers behind him. And he said, this is a military coup. Put down the weapons so we can resolve this peacefully. You know, it was it was direct action with weapons, but he didn't want a fucking massacre, you know? That is a fucking hero. He took the initiative, he took his crew, and they just did that shit. You know, that's, more people got to do that, you know, military organize. You know, you got to play this out strategically. Very crazy. But yeah, that was
a
very
good
man. Yeah,
if you want to get cancer.
Yeah.
Right. I remember his 2006 speech at the UN. I remember that when he said that you could still smell the sulfur from the devil after George Bush spoke.
Yeah.
He really made it. He made it big on the map after he gave that speech. He really did. Like, everybody started paying more attention to him. And I mean, it's not like he was wrong.
No,
it's not like he was wrong.
Right, and then you see how, you know, what mainstream media tries to pose him as, you know, as the bad guy or whatnot. I mean, I can't even think of what I'm trying to use as a reference point. I can't remember the guy that said it. A politician, I want to say, from Middle America.
Yeah. Are you, I think, you know, I know what you mean.
But he tried to play it
well,
up like Hugo Chavez.
Well, you guys are working that out just so the listeners know. If anybody wants to call in, call in.
Yeah.
Because we have 15 minutes left. We have 15 minutes left, so.
Oh, yeah, fuck, the time is fucking flying.
Yes, it flew by.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Charlie, you didn't even notice that, didn't you?
I did not, sir. I did not.
Well,
but I thoroughly enjoyed being on
here
with you, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. Evan.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
you
I wanna talk about these Noah hides again real quick, Jeff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to talk about some anti-Semitism because we've said some things that if people don't know us and they don't know the movement that we're in, they would definitely call us anti-Semites.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify.
The word is overused. People don't know what the word means.
I want to clarify that the government has been involved in defining what anti-Semitism is as well.
Mm-hmm.
In 2004, Bush Jr., while his father signed the Noah Hides into law, passed Public Law 108-332, the 118th Statute of 1282. And this is also called the Global Anti-Semitism Review Act. And it adds 14 new things that redefine what anti-Semitism is, and I really think, if you guys don't mind, I'd like to just read these real quickly.
Right.
Number one, any assertion that the Jewish community controls the government, the media, international business, and the financial world, that will make you an anti-Semite. According to this, it doesn't matter whether the assertion is true or not. Truth is not the issue. Simply making such a statement violates the act. In itself,
that's
fucking crazy. That's by strong evidence of control of the United States government. That's one thing I put in my blog that occurred to me. The very fact that it's that even makes you an anti-Semite tells you how much control Zionists actually have in the United States government. Number two, the expression of strong anti-Israel sentiment. Any criticism of Israel can thus be considered anti-Semitic. Israel can mangle Gaza and get away with it. Number three, expressing virulent criticism of Israel's leaders, past or present.
Oh, I must be blacklisted by now, fuck.
Yeah, we both are. We are on the ADL's list, I'm sure.
Do you remember
you're on
with
there.
Alex Jones?
Everybody's on there that's on this broadcast. I mean, by now.
Yeah.
So, Menachem Begin may have led the Ergun in the slaughter and disposition of thousands of Palestinians, but it's anti-Semitic to say so. So, if you point out the slaughter...
That's fucking crazy.
Criticism of the Jewish religion or its leaders with the emphasis on the Talmud and Kabbalah. Remember, I mentioned that earlier. Not the Kabbalah necessary, but it's in my blog. I smashed the Kabbalah pretty hard and Madonna. So anybody that's not a Madonna fan, as far as her and the Kabbalah go, you'll enjoy what I have to say. it's perfectly acceptable as free speech to vilify Islam and Christianity. So you can talk about Islam and Christianity all you want to, talk bad about it till the cows come home. But any criticism of Judaism violates this act.
Yeah,
number
and then
five,
you gotta
any
ask
criticism.
Yourself, why is that?
Yeah.
You know.
Why? Yeah. Why is that?
Homeland
why
Security. The list for Homeland Security, for people who are a threat to the state and that kind of shit. They're very simple things like military veterans, Ron Paul supporters, people who don't like the state, of people who support Palestine, all that kind of shit. People who grow their own food. Their list is fucking ridiculous. You know, I'm gonna put some Zionists on the list. They are really the threat of the fucking nation and the world.
We should do that, Jeff, actually. We should collaborate and make a list.
Oh, I got a blacklist already. 90% on all Zionists.
any criticism of the United States government and Congress for being under the undue influence by the Jewish Zionist community, which would include Jewish organizations such as AIPAC, is considered anti-Semitic truth, matters not to the ridiculous legislators who passed this ludicrous act. Number six, any criticism of the Jewish Zionist community for promoting globalism or what some call the New World Order. When you can't criticize a propaganda machine for its promotions, both free speech and democracy are dead. These are quotes from my blog, actually.
Yeah. I'm just
placing
I'm just getting a message from Sam, you know, from Jordan. He says, Israel, they stopped, you know, they didn't really stop, but they stopped the war in Gaza because they're afraid that more people in the U.S. and the Europe will wake up. And if that happens, the Zionists will be fucked from the ass. I'm quoting him. You know, if they are going to do this, you know, if you throw in the frog too quick, he's going to notice, he's going to jump out. They're going to boil it real, real silently and real smooth. People don't even realize it, you know. I'm just like Boston. Look what happened at Boston. Instantly, you know, you got, this is a good example, in Detroit, you got fucking, I don't know how much murders you got there in one night, but do you lock down the entire city? No, you don't.
No.
What the fuck is this? No. You lock down the entire city for a 19-year-old boy who didn't even do it, because we have the fucking pictures of the Blackwater mercenaries, or what the fuck they are. They just planted the bomb and they run away without a backpack. And all the
all these videotape pictures, Jack, where is it of the kids actually doing this? I haven't seen
one. No,
they don't
not one.
Don't get it. We always said on the internet and on 4chan, people are like, if you find a picture where this dude is planting the bomb, you win the fucking internet, because it's not going to happen. You're not going to find it, but we got over 30 or 40, 50, maybe 50 pictures of these fucking mercenaries all wearing the same outfits with the caps from the Navy SEALs and the Punisher logo. They
with
all got the
earpiece.
It's fucking crazy. It's just fucking crazy, and people are so
the
fucking
umbrella
blind.
Logo.
Yeah. and the FBI has got the fucking nerve to go on television, and then they put two of these blurry pictures on the screen. And you know what I think that they are saying with that? You know, we need new CCTV cameras in high definition, because we can't pick out the terrorists very good. You know, it's just fucking crazy.
Right, and how many, people, like, in my opinion, the whole Boston Marathon thing, like, how many people had cameras, cell phone cams, camcorders, et cetera, and we only got what?
They were
like,
all taken. They were actually all confiscated. They were all those camera phones were confiscated.
Do you remember that the entire network went down?
Yeah.
The entire network went down for the mobile phones.
Yeah. What is that?
That's not coincidence.
No, that's bullshit fucking...
Yeah, that's fucking planned. You can bet your ass on that.
Yeah.
You know, the Boston Times or whatever the fucking newspaper was called on the internet, they announced, you know, there's going to be a bomb and you see smoke and people and the federal agents. Nothing, don't worry, just a fucking drill.
Did you see what the finish line, the address, where the finish line was?
Yeah, man.
Guys,
yeah.
We have a call from 913. We have 7 minutes left, so let's take this call. Do 2 minutes with them. We'll wrap it up.
Rachel's back.
Hi. We lost you, Rachel.
Yeah, I know. Technical difficulties.
Okay, it happens. It happens. At least you get to close out the show with us. So this is Rachel. Okay,
I want to ask Rachel real quick. We didn't get it last time. What do you think about the Monsanto and the Blackwater connection?
Oh, yeah. They don't have any business in the military.
Yeah,
at all.
Do you think it's the same like for military operations to, you know, to destabilize the competitors?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I think there's a lot that we don't know and can't see about that. Then we'll probably find out later. I think, you know, Monsanto has got their hands in a lot of things and has for quite a while.
Yeah.
There's also corporate espionage laws, I'm sure. That's extremely unethical, what they're doing. Even if it is legal, which I don't think that it is, to hire a company like that to infiltrate activist groups and their competitors is extremely unethical. That's about as unethical as it gets.
No.
And the sad part about that is, in my opinion, the sad part is that 90-some-odd percent of these individuals are ex-soldiers that operated in special operations group units like the Rangers, you know what I'm saying, special forces. And these are the individuals that are doing that. But then again, you know, money is the root of all evil and or corruption. So they throw a big price tag in front of them. These individuals are probably willing to do whatever. But you would think that they would still hold on to their moral code a little stronger.
Charlie,
No, never. They didn't get where they're, in my opinion, they did not get where they were at because they were moral.
Right.
They did not get where they were at because they were moral.
Jeff, but they were at one point.
For Charlie.
I got a question for Charlie. This has been sitting on my mind for a long time. I think I talked about this a little bit in the last show. But after Boston happened, I got a call on Skype from a person I know, and she was married to an FBI agent for eight or nine years, and she said those guys at the finish line in Boston, those are not what you think they are. They are sky marshals, and they operate under the depth of agriculture. She was like, after that happened, she said that one dude with the bald white guy with the cap on, she said, that is my ex-husband, and since the guy left the FBI, the FBI came to her like 8 times a year to question him. They say they are above the law. They have something to do with border security. You got the air marshals, and they work under the depth of agriculture. Well, I have no idea. She was very panicking.
Agriculture?
Yes. I have no idea what the fuck she was talking about.
Department of Agriculture is federal. They could buy up Hala points just as soon as the Social Security Administration or FBI.
Well, you know, what Jav did bring to my attention, I mean, if you take into consideration, like, game wardens and park rangers, they do hold far more authority than your standard police officer and or FBI agent, even.
That's
from
what I'm talking about. She said that they were above the fucking law. They don't care about government. They're not scared of them. And they probably had ties with the Mossad. But she didn't know that for sure.
I'm gonna research that more thoroughly, because that does bring a red flag up to me. I have never actually in depth, you know, analyzed or looked into the Department of Agriculture or even, you know, park rangers, because I just write them off as pieces of shit that protect or try to regulate hunting. But I mean, I have heard that they have the authorization to, you know, if you get caught hunting when you're not supposed to, they can take your house, your car, your guns, put you in jail, fine you hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
I mean,
Those are sneaky motherfuckers.
Yeah, there's something there that I didn't even notice until you just bring it to my attention. But the Department of Agriculture, that blows me away, Jeff.
Yeah, but you're not the only one.
Sneaky.
When I told a buddy of mine that he should research in this, he was like, "Jab, I have no idea what the fuck I just met. This is fucking crazy."
Yeah.
You know, but we gotta research that some more. But Evan, I'm gonna give it to you so you can wrap it up.
All right, guys. I want to thank everybody. Charlie, thank you for calling in and being a guest. It was great having you. Wonderful.
Amazing,
having you, especially Charlie, on Independence Day and making time for us. So thank you. Rachel, thank you for being on the panel again with us this week. Really appreciate everybody coming back from last week when we had our tech problems. Sarah, thank you, as always, for helping us out.
Mm-hmm.
Always a huge help to us. We will not have a show next week. Our producer's out of town, and then I have some things to do also. So we will not have a show next week. We are going to come back on July the 18th, and Jap and I are working on getting a show together for MK Ultra. Which Sarah will be joining us for, along with hopefully our friend Filter HQ from Facebook. He's from Europe also. Yeah, hopefully
he's
get
from
him
my
in
country.
There.
That's my dude.
Right. We are so thankful to everybody that listens.
Yeah.
I also want to thank my brother for coming on earlier. He had to leave us a little bit early,
yeah.
But I want to thank him for joining us.
Yeah.
This is gonna be my last show. This is my last show at his house for a while. So I'm heading back to St. Louis. So. And I want to tell him I love him, and I was happy to be here for the holiday, even though I don't really care much about the holiday. So, and I want to thank my co-host. Can't forget about my co-host and my producer.
Yeah, I
got the hammer, bro. Yeah, we dropped the hammer like we always do. We did it on a holiday.
Great.
We didn't get any trolls today. We didn't get any trolls, but trolls are always welcome. Yeah.
No, maybe. We're talking
trolls
about
are always
NKL,
welcome. We'll be happy to have you guys on the show, too, if you guys want to call in and tell
yes,
us how much
do.
You hate it. Yeah. But thank you, everybody.
And we're done.
See you in 2 weeks.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, y'all.
All right, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Thank you.